chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we are going to read verses 27, 28. I think we started this point last week and didn't finish, but Acts chapter 8, in verse 27, 28, the Bible says, "And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Again, we've been talking about Philip. Philip, as he's even called in Scripture, Philip the Evangelist. Obviously, he was preaching there in Samaria. The Holy Spirit told him to go down into the desert, to go down to Gaza. And he comes there, and he obviously sees this Ethiopian eunuch. Holy Spirit tells him to draw himself unto that chariot, and he runs to that chariot. He runs to fulfill just the will of God and the command of God. And it's even reminding us, because we've been going over this, and this is just God's grace in our life to tell somebody else about Christ, to help somebody else to even see the significance of Jesus Christ in their life, because no matter where somebody is in their life, we can point them to Christ. We can tell them there is someone who cares, there's someone who loves, there's someone who knows you by name, there is someone who wants to have a relationship with you, there is someone who has prepared a place for you in heaven and wants you to be there. So, I mean, no matter what's going on in someone's life, we can point them to Christ. We can share Christ with them. And the Holy Spirit will help us to know what to say and even how to start the conversation. But let me say this, it should be on our minds. It should be in our hearts that we want people to come to know Christ as our Savior. We want people to have what we have. We have the gift of salvation. We have a relationship with a loving God. And we have a walk with a Savior, Jesus Christ. And we really should. Can we talk to every single person in the world? No. Can we save people? No, only Jesus can do that. But it should still be a concern of ours that people do get saved and people do get the spiritual help that they need, because we are growing in our faith and we know the help that we get through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and continues to do in our life. But just in this point, we see Philip, or we see a man in the desert, a man seen by God. Letter A, Acts chapter 8 shows us that we have an amazing, loving God who truly cares about individual lives being saved. God does care about every single person. You know what? Again, sometimes we may not know what to say or how to start a conversation. We just have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we really have to be in tune to people when they're talking. Have you ever talked to somebody and you could tell they weren't listening? They were looking at you, but they weren't listening. They were like nowhere in the room. Though they were physically there, they were looking at you, but you could tell they're not listening. God hears everything a person says or thinks. You know, when somebody knows that someone cares because they're truly listening, they will pour out their heart to you. They will tell you problems in their life without you even asking. Again, when someone wants to start talking about their troubles, they're seeking help. They're seeking for a solution to their problems. And because you look like someone who cares and you're listening to them, you're giving them time that no one else gives, the Holy Spirit will help us to hear things they say so we can use that to tell them about Christ and tell them, you know what? I don't know how to fix your problem, but I know someone who does, because he's helped me in my life and in my in the things that I face in life and faced in life. Again, when you look at verse 30, and Philip, he ran to the chariot. He hears him reading the book of Isaiah. He hears him reading some scripture from Isaiah, and he just asks the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" I mean, how do I start a conversation? Well, he hears him reading the Bible, so he just says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And obviously the man didn't understand if the scripture was talking about the prophet or if it was talking about some other man. So Philip was able to obviously start talking about Christ, but I want us to understand that God cares about every single person. Is there a person in this world that God does not care about or love? Now, you ask that question to somebody else that maybe doesn't know the love of God and has not experienced the love of Christ, and you ask them, is there anyone you think God doesn't love? They would name somebody. They would name someone who has committed a heinous crime, someone who has murdered, someone who has taken precious life, and say, there's no way God can love that person. Oh, yes, he does. He loves every single person, regardless of nationality, regardless of color of skin, regardless of personality, regardless of background, regardless of what they've done in their life, because Jesus said that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And thank the Lord that Jesus did come for sinners, because all sinners need a Savior. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, there are your notes. It says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Over one sinner that repenteth. Every person that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the angels rejoice. The scripture says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God, over one sinner that repenteth. So again, you're going to have somebody in your life. Maybe you have had somebody in your life that has said, "I don't think God can love me. There's no way that God can love me." Yes, they can. In fact, the angels of God are waiting to rejoice over that person who will just put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Again, there's not a single person. You know what? My prayer is that tonight for the program that there are people here that believe God does not love them, so that they can hear the truth that God does love them and that God does care about the heartaches that they have and cares about them personally, that Jesus came to die personally for every single person so he could personally bring joy and peace and comfort into that person's life. God could have sent Philip to a city that was full of people. For that matter, he could have left Philip in Samaria that was full of people getting saved and a great revival going on. Yet God saw a man in the desert who had been in Jerusalem and was curious about Jesus, curious about the Messiah that Isaiah talked about. And God loved that man just as he loves, obviously, the whole world, and sent Philip to the desert for that one man. Wherever we go in life, wherever you've been, wherever you are right now, and wherever you will go, there's a purpose behind it. Nowhere we go and no one that comes into our life is an accident. Everybody that comes into our life, God brings into our life so that we can be an example to them, we can show them the love of Christ, and no doubt be there to answer their questions, because people have questions about God. They have questions about Jesus Christ. Again, they may not necessarily say, "What must I do to be saved?" But like this man, he's searching. He's being drawn to God. He's not quite sure, again, what the Bible is saying. I mean, is the prophet talking about himself or some other man? And God allows us to be in people's lives so that we can be there to help them. Again, no doubt to show them the love of Christ, to show them, that God really does care about them. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Again, God's the one that does the drawing. He's the one that draws people unto himself. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself." All right, so God does the drawing, but a person who truly is searching the truth and really wants to know the truth, because sometimes people will use the excuse for not believing in God is, well, if God was real and God loved people, then why do bad things happen? If God was real and God loved people, then what about those tribes in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa? What about them? Again, God's not willing that any should perish. God has put into every person a desire to know their Creator. You can't help but to look at nature and look at creation and even look at the evidence of just outer space and the stars and the planets and the sun and think, you know, why does not our planet just spin out of control? Why doesn't it just get closer to the earth? Why does it just stay right where it's at? How is this planet, it just stays on its axis. It doesn't just, you know, flop around and spin out of control, because there's a creator. There's a designer. But what happens is people will suppress what God's put into them, whether because something bad happens in their life and the devil, you know, he plants his little seed of doubt and his little seed of hatred towards God in somebody's mind, and they'll take that and they'll, you know, they'll think about, and that's true, if God was really loving, none of this would happen to me. But you know what? When someone is really wanting to know the truth, because God's drawing them, God will help them to find the truth. Someone that is seeking salvation and seeking to know their Creator, because God's drawing them in his own way, he gives us the opportunity to be a part of it. He gives us an opportunity to be a part of people's lives. Now, we can choose not to be, but that's not going to stop God from continuing to draw that person to him and use somebody else in that person's life. It's an amazing thing that God wants to use sinners that are saved by grace to help another sinner come to know the one who gives grace. It's a wonderful thing that God does this and that God does not choose the angels. Again, like we read, the angels rejoice over one sinner being saved, but they can't tell people about salvation. They haven't experienced it, and they will never experience the gift of salvation. They'll never experience what we experience as God's people, as those that have received Christ as their Savior. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, in your notes, "Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." All right, again, someone that is being drawn by the Lord, someone who all of a sudden has this desire, like this Ethiopian eunuch, you know, he's reading the scriptures, and he's very curious about this portion, and he wants to understand it, and God sends Philip to help him to understand it and to point him to Jesus Christ, who the scriptures are talking about. Now, the Lord loved this Ethiopian man so much that he sent Philip to him. And this Ethiopian was a man of power and prestige. I mean, he had the treasury of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. But although he had great power and respect, he also had emptiness of soul, for he did not know God. The scripture says, "What shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So God does care. He cares about the richest man in the world just as much as he cares about the poorest man in the world. God's not a respecter of persons. Unfortunately, people are a respecter of persons. I was talking to somebody recently, and they were talking about their dad, and basically they said, "You know what? I don't know if my dad would come to church because he's already stated that that church will not accept me. People won't accept me in the church." So I talked to this young man. I'm like, you know, why does he believe that? And I kind of used the illustration. Does your dad care about what people think when he goes to Walmart? No. When we go to Walmart, we go to some store, we don't care what people think of us, you know. But for some reason, the devil uses that, though, when someone's thinking about going to church, that, you know what, they're not going to accept you for who you are. In fact, he said that his father even made the statement, let me think how he said it again. Basically, he said, those people are goody-two-shoes. Those people that are in church, they look down on people. And again, the devil uses that to keep people from coming to God because, yes, that person may think, okay, people in that church, they think they're better than everybody else. Well, they're also thinking that God won't accept them for who they are. And this son was saying, you know, because his father even admits, you know, he's very vulgar. You know, he cusses a lot and just, you know, just doesn't think, you know, he will be accepted. And I assured him, no, your father would be accepted because Christ would accept him. I even gave the example of different things in Scripture. What I'm saying is the devil will use anything he can to keep people from coming to know Christ. Now, again, like I told him, does your father care about what people think when he goes into Walmart? And the answer was no, because what? You're going in there to get what you want, and you don't care if someone, you know, doesn't like the way that you dress. You know, oh, you're wearing camo. I don't believe in camo. Okay, but we don't care about that. And I told him, you know, tell your father he needs to come because what he thinks is not true. It's a lie. Are there people, though, that are judgmental? When you go to Walmart, are there people that are judgmental? Yeah. There's people that will look at you and they'll give their opinion of you and all that, but again, you don't really care because it's like, you don't know me, right? Can there be judgmental people in a church? Well, yeah. And I even gave them the example. I've been in plenty of churches where there were people that had a condemning spirit towards somebody else. I even gave the example of that. I was in the church prior to this one, and there was a person in that church that felt it was their duty to make sure everybody had the right Bible. And she would take it upon herself. As soon as they walked in the door, she's scoping out their Bible. If they didn't have a King James, she went right to them, and she would tell them, you don't have the right Bible. And I know of another lady that took another woman aside and said, look around. Do you see any other woman wearing pants? And I'm thinking, it's not about the pants. It's not about the dress. It's not about, honestly, what Bible you have, because the Holy Spirit convicts the heart. So can you have those types of people in churches? Yes. But you know what? Those types of people are everywhere. Okay? But, again, I assured him to assure his father what he thinks of this church is not true. Come and see. You remember when Philip went to get Nathan, and he told Nathan, you know, we found the Messiah of whom Moses spoke about. And Nathan said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He kind of had his viewpoint of Nazareth, the city of Nazareth, and he's like, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Just come and see. And guess what? His thinking was changed. All right? So again, when we're dealing with people and we're trying to help people to see that Christ does love them, there are going to be people that automatically, they already have a view of church, they already have a view of God, again, because it's something that's happened in their life. All right? Unfortunately, some people equate God to a human. Well, if people treat me this way, if people don't accept me, if people don't love me, if people mistreat me, then you know what? God must be the same way. And it's not true. Now, again, that's where we have to say, in a way, come and see. Come and see that, you know what? What you believe is wrong. Because that's not the way Jesus is, and that's not the way God's people are. God's people are not judgmental. God's people, those who truly are walking with the Lord like Philip, loving God and loving people. Philip, who is a Jew, did not hesitate in running to a black man to show him the way of the Lord, Ethiopian eunuch. He did not care about the color of his skin. He cared about his soul. And again, a true born-again believer, a true disciple of Christ, a true Christian, has that heart's desire that we look past the outside. We look past the outer appearance into their soul, knowing that, you know what, you need a relationship with God so you can come to learn that there is a God in heaven who loves you, wants to be in your life, part of your life, and along the way, that life is changed. That life is changed. Again, I have talked to people before. I've invited a person to church one time. They say, well, I got to change my life first. I mean they'll mention things, well, I got to stop doing this before I can go to church. You know, no, you don't. You just need to start coming to church. You need to come and find out that Jesus loves you, and he'll help you to stop doing all the other stuff. letter A, because my phone is not working. So letter A man seen by God. All right, a man seen by God. And then letter B, a man searching for truth. All right, a man seen by God. God sees every single person. He sees the one that is searching for truth, and he draws them unto truth, and he uses us to help them. But then letter B, a man searching for truth. Look at Acts 8, and look at verse 28 through 31 again. It says, was returning, sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. All right, so he desired Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, we discover that Philip found the Ethiopian man reading the book of Isaiah. He was in the very passage that speaks of Christ suffering, Jesus being the suffering servant. And there in your notes, Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, perhaps the Ethiopian eunuch wondered why this servant would be treated in such a cruel way. Why would he bear our iniquities? Because, again, we can read that and we understand it. We know what it's talking about. But think about someone who is lost, who they're not saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit of God in them. They're reading a portion of Scripture, and it's very puzzling. It's very puzzling that at the end it would say, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why would God put all the sin of the world on his only begotten Son? I mean, that would be a good question from somebody. Now, we know why God did that, so the sins of the world could be paid for, so we could be redeemed out of bondage, so the chains of the devil would be broken, so we could have victory over death and hell and victory over sin. But someone who doesn't quite understand that, again, doesn't understand, you know, why God would do that, why God would allow that, God puts us in those positions so that we can help them to understand what God has done for them by even telling them what God did for us. There's not a single Christian who cannot be what the Bible calls a soul winner. There's not a single person, a single child of God that cannot be a soul winner. And a soul winner is just someone who tells someone about Christ. Again, when I went to the hospital, when Teresa was first in the hospital, she had some questions, she had some doubts, and I went there to help her to understand what God says in His Word. That's all I can do is point people to Christ. I can't comfort their hearts, but God can. And it was an amazing thing that while I was there, I could see God moving in her heart, helping her to understand, taking away the fear that she had, replacing it with peace, because only God can do that. And when you have, and I know that you have, when you have experienced that type of peace and comfort in your life, you know exactly what somebody else needs. Now, we can't make them believe what we're saying, but there is a God in heaven who can move in that person's heart, unlike we can, to help them to understand that. And again, we already know the end of this story, the end of this account, is the Ethiopian eunuch ends up putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And honestly, it's all because one person took time to just be involved in somebody's life. Look at number three. Number three, a ministry in the desert. So God sees a man, God cares about that man, and God sends another man to help him understand the truth of Jesus Christ. And number three, a ministry in the desert. The desert is the last place we would expect something beautiful to bloom. Yet often God performs what we least expect in the most surprising places. Wherever the water of the word is flowing, it doesn't matter how dry the parts of the ground are, God can raise something up. Now, as I think about that, Scripture does talk about the Word of God being a seed, and also the Word of God being like water. Whenever we talk on behalf of the Lord, when we say anything for the Lord to somebody, we're either planting a seed or we're watering a seed that's already been planted by somebody else. Paul said this of himself and Apollos, because, again, many were kind of saying, well, you know what, I got saved under Apollos' ministry, so I'm a follower of Apollos. Some said, you know, well, I follow Cephas or Peter because, you know, I got saved under his ministry. And there were some even saying, well, I follow Paul because I got saved under his ministry. And Paul kind of set the record straight and said, look, he didn't even bring Apollos or Peter into his argument. He just said, look, I'm nothing. He said, I didn't save any of you. He said, only Jesus Christ can do that. But he said, you know what? If Apollos watered or Apollos sows the seed, and I come along and I say something, well, I'm watering that seed that Apollos planted. But he says, some plant seeds and some water, but God's the one that gives the increase. So we all have a part in soul winning. We don't know who has already been talked to. We don't know who is really searching for truth. We don't know whose heart God is working in. Again, you know, just using tonight as an example, I don't know when people show up, I don't know if they're saved or not. I don't know if they're already trusting Christ as their Savior. So whatever I say from the Word of God, it's either going to be a seed being planted, because there is no seed planted yet, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, or what I say from the Word of God is going to be water that's watering the seed that's already been planted. Only God knows. But again, we have the wonderful benefit of being a part of it and just seeing the Holy Spirit work in somebody's life. Hopefully you've had some experiences of talking to somebody about Jesus Christ and just maybe seeing a spark in their eye or seeing the light bulb go on or just seeing them start to grin because they're understanding, they're agreeing with what you're saying. It is a wonderful thing to just see somebody understand, you know, that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. He is the answer. He's the comforter. Again, I can only imagine when you look here, look at verse 36, Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Just the fact that he asked that question, I kind of wonder at this point, you know, as Philip is talking about Jesus Christ, no doubt he's brought up baptism, okay? And then here's some water. I kind of wonder if this Ethiopian eunuch is starting to get a little excited. Because you know what? He's wanting to know the truth. Somebody's explaining it to him where he can understand it. It's possible he's getting a little excited about it. And he sees water. And he's like, okay, well, here's water. What would hinder me from being baptized? And just to hear Philip say, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And then him just confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I mean, it's just, again, it's amazing when people understand the importance of Jesus Christ in their life. You see the change in them. It excites you. It helps you and myself to be encouraged in our faith and to be encouraged in the fact that, you know what? God can actually use me to talk to somebody. I don't have to know everything about their life. I don't necessarily need to know everything I need to say. There's no formula. There's no perfect sentence or paragraph that we can say to somebody that, boop, they're going to get saved. I'll be honest, there are times when I've been talking to somebody and I have a verse come to my mind, but I can't remember the reference. Let me ask you something. Is someone going to get saved if I say John 3:16? If I say John 3:16, they're going to be like, oh, I believe in John 3:16. But you know what? It's the words. Because what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sometimes the devil wants to convince us, oh, you don't know the Bible reference? You don't remember where it's located? You can't say that verse. Let's remember, when Scripture was written, there was no name to the book, there was no chapter number, and there was no verse number. When John writes the book of John, he's writing this down. He's not going, okay, verse number one, what should verse number one be? Oh, I know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, what should verse number two be? Right? No, he was writing a letter. It's just for us, later on, somebody was wise enough, you know what, let's break this down so it's a little more simple that people can read and follow. And again, it's an amazing thing how God just even orchestrated that. All right? So again, what I just want us to understand, if you don't remember word for word the verse, but you know the concept, you're still talking about the concept. Can somebody only get saved if we recite the verse word for word? No. And what I've even had to explain and show to some people that were so hung up on, you got to say every word or it doesn't count. What? So there's no power in God's word if I miss a word? Or if I, you know, use a different word because I wasn't thinking and just kind of was saying the verse? Because what some people don't realize is a lot of times when even Jesus, now he's the Word, but Jesus and Paul and Peter, when they have used verses from the Old Testament, if you go and you look at what is written in the New Testament, what they said, and you compare it to the Old Testament, it's never word for word. It's never word for word. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we need to go and just, you know, missay it, but I'm saying is that don't allow yourself to think you have to be perfect at what you say before you can say anything. All right? Again, it's God who moves in the heart. And letter A, under a ministry in the desert, letter A, it's for the Spirit-led. All right? Being led by the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. In verse 29 of chapter 8, we see that the Holy Spirit directs Philip to go near and join thyself to this chariot. The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip to go and join himself. He told him what to do. And again, we have the Holy Spirit in us that will help us to know what to say, what to do. And God used Philip because Philip, again, was willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it really is that simple, just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do we follow the Holy Spirit's leading? We will never fulfill God's will for our lives apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said it was expedient for him to go away, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, might come. And obviously the Comforter would guide us, lead us into all truth, and teach us the things pertaining to Scripture, help us to understand it. This is why Scripture instructs us to walk in the Spirit and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:16 in your notes. Galatians 5:16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In Romans 8 it says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, one of the marks of a Spirit-led Christian is boldness in sharing the gospel, boldness in telling somebody about Christ and helping somebody when someone, again, when someone is talking to you about things in their life, burdens in their life, troubles in their life, even asking you, you know, what would you do? You ever had somebody tell you their problems and then say, what would you do? If you were me, what would you do? Because people want to know. People are looking for answers. And again, if you're somebody that they know they can trust and talk to, and there are people in our lives that have that view of us, that, you know what, that's someone I can talk to, that's someone I know that's not going to look down on me, that's someone I know that is not going to treat me wrong, I can talk to them, they'll tell me the truth. Again, that's what we want. We want someone to be able to be open with us so that we can, you know what, this is what I would do. If I was in your shoes, I would do this. First, I would ask for God's help. I would ask Jesus to come into your life because he's the one that can help you to go through the valley that you're going through. In Acts chapter 4, there in your notes, verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." God gives us the boldness to be able to speak the word of God, to be able to talk to people. Not only do we need to be willing to follow the leading of the Spirit, but we also need to be sensitive to it, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There was a ministry in the desert because Philip was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. And what ministry was that? It wasn't a children's ministry. It was not, you know, kids' venture. It wasn't any ministry that churches had, but it was an outreach ministry. He saw somebody, he was led to somebody, and he reached out to them and helped them to come to know Christ as their Savior right where they were at. He took where they were at in their life and helped them to see that Jesus loved them. Letter B, all right? It's for the Spirit-filled and it's for the sensitive. Philip wanted to obey God immediately. When the Spirit led Philip to the Ethiopian, the Bible tells us that Philip ran to him, ran to him. The words in your Bible are very important. They're there on purpose. Again, when the Bible says that Philip ran in verse 30, that's exactly what he did. He didn't walk. He didn't hesitate, but he ran. He immediately followed because he understood, you know what? This is what God brought me out here for. Remember, he's in Samaria, but then the Holy Spirit leads him out into the desert, and he obeys and he follows, just trusting, not knowing why he's going there. But then he sees the chariot. He sees this entourage, just probably more chariots, more servants, obviously, there, because this man was in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. I mean, he's a man of great power, so he's not traveling alone, okay? But he sees the chariot, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, "Go join yourself," and he runs. Means he doesn't hesitate. Totally trusting, this is why God's brought me here. This is why God's brought this person into my life, and there's a need that can be met. Philip was eager to do God's will. He recognized that God had allowed him to have a part in such an important task. The psalmist shows us in Psalm 119, looking in your notes, shows us a similar energy and an excitement and sensitivity to follow the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Meaning, again, I will run the way of thy commandments. I will be quick to follow thy word. I will be eager to do thy will when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Again, it's all about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our life. Again, many times it's not even what we say that even starts to help somebody to see their own need. That's why it's important that wherever we go, that we have a testimony that follows after us. A testimony that follows after us that, you know what, when we leave a place, we leave a person, they know, you know what, there's something different about that person. That person has peace in their life that I need. That person is somebody I can talk to. That's somebody I can ask advice from. And again, God gives us those opportunities. Letter C. Letter C for the soul winner. Our text shows us specifically that Philip was a soul winner who knew how to use God's word to show someone how to be saved. Now the question for us is, are we a soul winner? Are we ready to share the gospel with somebody? Now Philip was ready because he knew the scriptures. He was able to springboard from the passage where the man was reading to explain how this related to Christ. Again, when you think about where Philip is, all right, Philip is in a place, God brought him to that place, and Philip takes full advantage of it. Somebody might think, well, you know, I don't work a job, I don't really go out a lot. I'm giving you an example of somebody who was, I'll say, homebound. They never went out. They couldn't go out. But you know, sometimes when your phone rings, there's someone on the phone you really don't want to talk to because they're trying to sell you something. They're called telemarketers. What do we normally do? We hang up on them. But this person took it upon themselves. Whenever that person, okay, I'll listen to you, and then you have to listen to me. And they'll listen to their spiel of what they're selling. And okay, now it's your turn to listen to me. And they would tell them about Jesus. Now sometimes they got hung up on because they didn't want to hear it. But then they testified, and this was somebody in a church many years ago that testified that there were a lot that listened. He said there was a lot that didn't really say what we call a sinner's prayer. But they thanked them and said, you know what, that's what I needed. So you know what, a seed being planted. Or maybe a seed was already planted by somebody else and they were just watering it. And they were like, you know what, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Because you know what, I don't like telemarketers either. But you know what, all day long they're getting hung up, they're getting yelled at by people, they're being cussed out by people, and they're just trying to do a job that they get paid to do. So what I'm saying is this person say, you know what? I can at least do this, and God used it, all right? So we should never think that I cannot be used by God to talk to somebody about Christ. There's somebody, and there are people that God will bring into our life that, you know what, we can talk to. They will listen to us, and God will draw their heart unto them. And we'll see a life being changed, a life being blessed. Again, don't believe the lie that, you know, it's up to you to save them. We can't save them. We can't change their heart. Only God can do that. But we can pray and say, Lord, as you bring people in my life, I pray that their hearts are sensitive to the truth. I pray, Lord, that they will be drawn to you and that they will put their faith and trust in you. And again, it's a wonderful thing once you've done that. And let me just say this, one of the easiest ways to witness is just to leave a track. You know, we have these Bible tracks on the back, and I've got some new ones out there that are, I think, pretty good. I mean, they're all Bible tracts are good, but I picked these because I thought they were pretty good, pretty to the point, and maybe something people would, it would catch their attention. But how many times you go to the restaurant, or you go to the doctor's office, or the gas station? Because I understand not everyone's comfortable trying to strike up a conversation. I'm not. You know, I'm not. I don't like talking. It's like, I don't know what to say, Lord. But He opens up the door. But again, one of the easiest things is just leave a tract. Because why are people in the doctor's office? They're sick, but you don't know why they're there. You're sitting next to somebody waiting your turn to be called back, and that person may be waiting to go back there to find out the results of their test. And they're like scared to death. They're thinking, is it cancer? Do I have, you know, only 6 months to live? And you just kind of, you know, you may not feel comfortable handing it to them, but just, you know, as you get up, leave it on your seat. I mean, even pretend that you were reading it. Oh, my turn. Okay. And then leave it down, get up, and they're like, I wonder what he was reading. And they reach over to pick it up, and, you know, there's just so many different ways is what I'm saying. So let God use you, all right? And we will see just those people in heaven that God obviously, you know, drew them unto Him. They put their faith and trust. And we have no idea the impact of what we do. But one day we'll see the impact of what we've done. And it'll be a wonderful blessing and rejoicing. All right? That's how we're to pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your love. And thank You, Father, that You, Lord, have given us the wonderful privilege, Lord, to be a part of, Lord, Your salvation, Your redemption ministry, Lord. As the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, Father, just reconciliation, Lord, You've allowed us to be a part of the reconciliation ministry, helping people to come to know Christ as their Savior because our own life has been changed. Father, I ask that You would continue to bless our time together this morning. Lord, continue to speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to continue to yield ourselves, to continue following You, and Lord, to continue just allowing You to work in our life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we've got about 5 minutes or so.